الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد In these past days ولله الحمد In these past weeks بفضل الله عز وجل علينا جميعا By the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our lives have been established in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, night and day. The Muslims remembering Allah azza wa jal in the morning and in the evening, in the afternoon and in the night time, leaving their food and drink, seeking His pleasure, seeking His forgiveness and seeking His mercy. Seeking acceptance from their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and their Creator tabaraka wa ta'ala. Standing in the night prayer, even though it's not obligatory. Giving their evenings up, listening to the words of their Lord. These days they have been full of good deeds and righteous actions all over the world. Walillahil hamd. Legislated deeds, seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving charity, giving zakat. Fulfilling pillars of Islam, establishing salat, performing the charity, the obligation on the wealth, performing the pillar of al-Islam, all in these days. The mention of Allah Azza wa Jal and His mentioning being raised in the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal and in the homes. The women praising Allah Azza wa Jal, cooking food for their families and for those who are making suhoor and for those who are making iftar, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. In their homes, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, in the masajid, at ayyam ma'mura bi'ibadati Allahi tabaraka wa ta'ala bil ikhlasi wal mutaba'ah, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, days of ikhlas and sincerity. Allah Azza wa Jal, as these days are closing and coming to an end, this month, the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated deeds, acts of worship that are specific for these days. And He has made these deeds, the deeds that these days of Ramadan are completed with and ended with. From these acts of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, that would be the end or the seal of these days, Zakat al-Fitr. The Zakat al-Fitr, which is an obligatory type of Zakat, different from the Zakat al-Mal, the Zakat on the wealth. Likewise, at Takbir, in the end of Ramadan, and the last days of Ramadan, after Ramadan is over, it's legislated this Takbir. And likewise, the Salat of Eid. All of these are from the means of completing these days of fasting, and these days of standing, these days of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to draw near to Him and to complete these deeds in the best manner and in the best way. From these great deeds, as I mentioned, Zakat al-Fitr. It's also known as Sadaqat al-Fitr. Just come in the narrations with these wordings. Sadaqat al-Fitr, wa Zakat al-Fitr, wa Sadaqat al-Ramadan. All of these are a type of charity. صدقة تخرج في نهاية رمضان شكرا لله تعالى وتقربا إليه سبحانه وتعالى تطهير للنفوس. It's a charity that is given at the end of Ramadan, showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this charity, giving it for the sake of Allah azza wa jal and no one else, hoping for the reward from Allah azza wa jal and the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal and no one else. A means to purify the soul and to rectify the errors that occurred while fasting from the wisdoms of this zakat, from the wisdom of this charity. Sadaqatul Fitr. The ulama, they mentioned this is an inscription to Fitr because this is the time of Fitr and this is the time of the zakat, where the Fitr is the time of zakat. Zakatul Fitr. Min babi idafati shay ila waqtihi. The time for the sadaqah is at the fitr, meaning on the day of al-fitr. The ulama, they have agreed, and there's consensus and an ijma' that it's obligatory. That it's obligatory to perform the zakat, and that the time of obligation, as the name, as the title is called, sadaqat al-fitr, is at the time of fitr. On the last day of Ramadan, I mean the first night of Eid, at this time it becomes obligatory upon those who have their daily needs for that day, the day of Eid, the food that they need for their family for that one day, they have over that a sa' extra or more, then they have to pay the zakat al-fitr on each person under their care. On each person under their care. So we see from the wisdoms, and this is good to understand, first of all, it's an act of worship pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So whenever a person, he performs this zakat al-fitr, he does it seeking the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. Some people, whenever they have the zakat al-fitr, they're just trying to get rid of it. They just want to get it done off their back as fast as possible. So they buy the cheapest thing and the fastest thing and they put it wherever they can. Sometimes they just leave it in the masjid before even asking anybody to take it. They want to get it off their back. They want to remove the obligation. Simply this. Now a person, he wants to fulfill the obligation, no doubt, but he wants the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is an act of worship that Allah has legislated and He is pleased with. It's an act of worship that Allah has legislated and He is pleased with. And it's an obligation. So this is from the most beloved acts to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because we know that the most beloved acts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the deeds that He has made obligatory. The obligatory actions are the best and most beloved deeds, and they have the greatest reward. And they have the greatest reward. So zakat al-fitr, it's ibadah. A person will do it hoping for the reward from Allah, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hoping for His reward tabaraka wa ta'ala, hoping for His acceptance, hoping for His mercy, hoping that Allah will be pleased with what He presents, with the food that He presents to give for Allah's sake to those who He has commanded Him to give it to the poor. Likewise, the ulama have mentioned that zakat al-fitr, from the wisdom and the benefit of the zakat al-fitr, it's tuhra, yani tathir, tathir al-nufus. Now, it's a means of purification, the sa'im, for the one who fasted. The one who fasted the month of Ramadan, this type of zakat al-fitr, is a means to purify his soul. And likewise, a means to rectify any mistakes that he had, any foul speech, or any bad dealings, or any shortcomings he had in his obligations, or if he perpetrated or committed some haram, or even if he stayed away from these things, but sometimes because of his hunger or his weakness, whenever he's hungry, maybe he dealt with somebody in the wrong manner, or maybe he lashed out at somebody or raised his voice, and then he felt bad. And the likes like this, how sometimes it happens when a person is fasting. Or maybe he acted in a manner that is not befitting. He came out of character, and the likes like this. All of these actions that are not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, some of them are haram and some of them are disliked all the time. In fasting, in the days of fasting, they're even more disliked or even more severe in their impermissibility. But Allah Azza wa Jal, from His kindness and His mercy for His servants and His knowledge of their weakness, He has legislated for them a means to rectify that for the fasting, and that is sadaqat al-fitr. The one who gives it, hoping in the reward and believing in Allah Azza wa Jal, this is a means to rectify those errors and to purify his fast for him. Naam, to that way the person can end these days and end his fast in the best manner. Any errors that he had, the sadaqat al-fitr and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, inshaAllah, is a means that Allah has made from His mercy, the sadaqat al-fitr, a means to purify that. Naam, tuhratun al-sa'im. Tuhratan al-sa'im. Also showing thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal for giving the individual the ability to complete that fast, to fast all 30 days, to stand in the night prayer all 30 nights or 29, however the case may be. This is success from Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is something that is not easy except for those who Allah made it easy for them. And whenever the believers, they see that Allah had given them success and He had made it easy for them to fast those days and to endure the hot days and the likes and standing in the night prayer, then they show thanks. By complying to His commandments and staying away from His prohibitions. And from those commandments, zakat al-fitr. Now I'm showing thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal for giving them success to be Muslims and giving them success to follow the Sunnah, giving them success to complete these great pillars of Islam. This is from the grace and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, not from our grace or not from our own ability. Rather, this is a favor of Allah upon the Muslims. upon the believers, upon the people of the Sunnah, that they are upright, that they are steadfast, that they pray, that they leave off innovation. All of this is a grace and a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. So a believer, he will comply to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, showing thanks, being a thankful servant, not being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, from the wisdom of Zakat al-Fitr, the ulama, they mentioned al-muwasat, bayn al-fuqara'i wal-aghniya. Al-muwasat, it means to make the people on the same level, on the same mustawa, they'll be equal on this day with regards to their food and the likes. Because on the day of Eid, it's hope for all of the Muslims to be rejoicing and happy, the poor and the rich. So on this day, the poor, the rich, they give some wealth to the poor to put them equal with them. And this day, they all have food. They all have food. Not only the rich have food and the poor don't have food, but rather it's legislated. And from the wisdom and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, that there are those who have wealth, they will give the poor on that day, so they will all be equal. And they will all have food. And they will all rejoice. And they will all enjoy. And they will all laugh. And they will all have a good time on this day. And they will all have the means to eat on this day and celebrate this day. So this is from the wisdom of giving the Zakat al-Fitr. From the wisdom of giving Zakat al-Fitr. It has been narrated from Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that he said, فَرَضَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ صَدَقَةِ الْفِطْرِ أَوْ قَالَ رَمَضَانَ أي صَدَقَةَ الرَّمَضَانِ. It's come like this and like that. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم فَرَضَ. فَرَضَ أي أَوْجَبَ. He has made it obligatory. He has made it wajib. It's a fariḍa. It's from the fara'id of the deen, the obligatory actions. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he has made صَدَقَةَ الْفِطْرِ أَوْ صَدَقَةَ الرَّمَضَانِ obligatory. He has made it an obligation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, radiyallahu anhuma, ala al-dhakri wal-untha wal-hurri wal-mamluk, sa'in min tamrin aw sa'in min sha'ir. Now, he mentioned that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has made sadaqat al-fitr obligatory upon the male and the female, upon the free and upon the slave, the freedman and upon the slave. One sa' from dates or one sa' from wheat or barley, sha'ir. And in one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "An tu'adda wa amara an tu'adda qabla khuruj an-nasi ila as-salat." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commanded that it must be performed before the people go out for salat, any salat al-Eid, before the people go out for the salat, a salat al-Eid. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has legislated salat al-fitr, sadaqat al-fitr. And we see that it's an obligation, farada, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sadaqat al-fitr. Farada ay awjaba, he has made it obligatory. It's an obligation upon every male and every female. Now, whether he is a free man or whether he is a slave, whether he, in some narrations, mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala al-saghiri wa al-kabir, the old one and the young one. The old one and the young one, all of them, it's obligatory to pay for them, to pay on their behalf. Those who have those who are children under their care, they pay for them on their behalf. If they're Muslims, Naam, you pay for them on their behalf. Or they have relatives under their care and the likes like this, or they have someone who is under their care, a stepchild with the likes like this, he's the guardian of them, he will pay on their behalf. He will pay on their behalf. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam legislated sa'. A sa' is a type of measurement. The ulama, they say a sa' arba'atu amdad. Arba'atu amdad. Sa' as-sa' al-wahid arba'atu amdad. That a sa' is a type of measurement. What is it? It's four amdad. Al-mud. The ulama, they say al-mud huwa ijtima' al-yadayn al-mu'tadilatayn. Mamru'atayn. Yani yadani mu'tadilatani mamru'atani. Hadha huwa muddun. Two handfuls like this, full of a moderate man, an average man. An average man. Some men, they have extremely extra large hands. Or somebody, few people from amongst the people have smaller hands. But the majority of the people, their hands are roughly the same size. The majority of average men, if we put up our hands like that, most of them are pretty close to the same size. This is the case. The average man, his hands, put them together and fill it up, full. This is called a mud. A sa' is four of these. The ulama, they have mentioned, Sheikh Ibn Baz and other than them, it's even mentioned in the dictionaries and the likes, the definition of a sa' in this manner. The definition of a sa' in this manner. There's another narration, the previous narration of Abdullah ibn Umar is in Bukhari and Muslim. This narration likewise is in Bukhari and Muslim, is from the narration of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. He says, "Kunna nu'tiha fi zaman an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sa'an min ta'amin aw sa'an min tamr aw sa'an min sha'ir aw sa'an min aqd aw sa'an min zabib." He mentioned here radiyallahu anhu, he said that we used to give the zakat al-fitr in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one sa'. We know what the sa' is now, right? From ta'am, food. Or a sa' from tamr, dates. Or a sa' from sha'ir, wheat, barley, and the likes. Or a sa' sha'ir's wheat, and a sa' min aqit. Or a sa' from zabib. Zabib is raisins. So he's mentioning here different types. In one narration, he mentioned, وَطَعَمُنْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ الْحِمْطَ. He mentioned that the food that they had that day was called الْحِمْطَ. It's also like a type of wheat or the likes like this. So these are the types that is Abu Sa'id, he has mentioned, that can be given. Dates, wheat, barley, or raisins, and the likes like this. The ulama, they differed about this issue. Does it have to be from these mentioned in the narration, or can it be from those things that are similar to these things mentioned? And what the majority of the scholars are upon is that it can be from those that are similar. So for example, rice and macaroni also can be given. A saw of rice or a saw of macaroni or the likes like this. Oats and the likes like this. It can be given from these things likewise. Likewise, Shaykh Ibn Baz and Shaykh Uthaymeen رحمهم الله تعالى, they have made it easy to perform by making a scale for the scale, because a sa' or a mud is not something that you weigh. And it's known that if you take two handfuls of rice and two handfuls of moist dates, the weight will be different. But the ulama have mentioned that what would be sufficient in all of the different types of food is if it weighed approximately 3 kilos. If it weighed approximately 3 kilos, this would suffice. This would be, sometimes maybe it would be more than what is required, but this is approximately what is considered a sa'. To make it easy for the Muslims and to make it easy for the people, they have made this estimated guess here to see that it's approximately 3 kilos. So if somebody wanted to give rice, or if somebody wanted to give macaroni, or if somebody wanted to give raisins, or if somebody wanted to give dates, he could do it with his hands in this manner. Or he could just weigh out 3 kilos, which is 1 kilo is 2.2 pounds. So how many pounds is that? 6.6. So roughly around 7 pounds or little 6.5 pounds like this. This would suffice. So a person, he will give this. And the ulama, they mentioned that what is best to give is what is most beneficial for the people at that time. What is most beneficial is for the poor, the best one to give is the one that is most beneficial for the poor people. If they don't use barley, then to give them barley is not much benefit for them. But if they use rice, then rice is good. If they use dates, then dates is good. If they use raisins, then raisins, this is good. In this manner like this, whichever one is the best and most beneficial. Likewise, if somebody bought the cheapest rice, it would be sufficient. But remember that this is an act of worship, and he is presenting this for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So I would advise myself and my brothers that we would look for the good one to give for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Although if somebody, when he bought the lowest grade, the cheapest grade, if that's what he could afford, or even if he could afford more, this would suffice. But this is an act of worship that a person, he is giving for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he is hoping for the reward. So he will hope to do it the best. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ الْإِحْسَانِ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that Allah Azza wa Jal, he has commanded and prescribed excellence and perfection in everything. So a person, he will try to be from the good doers and do the best that he can do in his worship. So we see that the one who it's obligatory upon is the one who has his daily needs that day for his food. He has his food that he needs that day for him and his family. He has the food that he needs for that day, for the day of Eid, for him and his family. And he has extra than that, a sa' extra. He has enough food and he has enough to have an extra sa' of rice, for example. If he has this extra or more, he has to pay. He has to pay. A person may be considered miskin. He may be considered poor, but he has this amount. He can pay, or he must pay. And he must pay on behalf of those under his care. So this is a type of worship that the poor person will pay and he could receive. A person may be considered miskin and he has to pay zakat, and actually he can receive the zakat too because he falls under the category. Because he falls under the category. Because the person who is miskin is the one who lives paycheck to paycheck. He's not saving money. He's barely getting by. He gets by, maybe he has a job, maybe he has a car and the likes like this, a house, but he's struggling to get by. He's struggling to pay his bills. He's struggling to pay his debts. He's struggling to get by. He doesn't save money. He's barely getting by, or he has to have help to get by, or the likes like this. This one's been considered miskin. This one's considered miskin. Now, this one's considered miskin. The one who has nothing, this one's considered faqir. Faqir, he has nothing. He's living on the street. He has nothing. He's destitute. This one is faqir. The one who is miskin is the one who maybe he has some things, but he does not have what he needs. He's barely getting by week to week, check to check. He's struggling like this, him and his family, to eat, to buy food for the house. He's barely getting by. This person, maybe on the day of Eid, he has more than he needs that day. And maybe he has food that day, and he has extra money also. So he has to buy Zakat al-Fitr and give it. He has to purchase it, or if he has it, he must give it in charity. At the same time, he could receive it. At the same time, he could receive it, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. Zakat al-Fitr becomes obligatory on the night of Eid. On the night of Eid. If the moon is sighted at that time at Maghrib, Zakat al-Fitr becomes obligatory. On the night of Eid. On the night of Eid. The last day of Ramadan, at the night of Eid, now at this time, Zakat al-Fitr becomes obligatory. So if somebody had accepted Islam before the sunset on the last day of Ramadan, he has to pay Zakat al-Fitr. He has to pay Zakat al-Fitr. He has to pay Zakat al-Fitr. If somebody had a baby on that day, the day before, just before the sun setting, he has to pay, he will have to pay Zakat al-Fitr. In the manner like this. In the manner like this. Now, likewise, the ulama, they mentioned it's not obligatory to give Zakat al-Fitr for the one who is janin, for the baby in the womb, for the fetus in the womb. It's not, or the baby in the womb, even if it's grown, even if it's many months into the pregnancy, it's not obligatory to pay zakat on behalf of that baby, although it's recommended. It's recommended because Uthman radiallahu anhu, he gave zakat al-fitr on behalf of the janin, of the baby and the womb. He gave behalf, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, gave zakat al-fitr on behalf of the baby and the womb, but the ulama, they mentioned it's not obligatory. It's not obligatory. Now, but it's preferred. It's preferred. The ulama, they mentioned the best time to give the food, the best time to pay Zakat al-Fitr is before Fajr, Yawm al-Eid. Before Fajr, Yawm al-Eid. The best time. But it's permissible to give the Zakat al-Fitr a day or two before. It's permissible to give Zakat al-Fitr a day or two before. It has come in Sahih Bukhari that they mentioned, كَانُوا يُعْطُونَ the Zakat al-Fitr, they would give the Zakat al-Fitr قَبْرَ الْعِيدِ بِيَوْمٍ أَوْ يَوْمَيْنِ. They would give the Zakat al-Fitr before Eid by 1 or 2 days. So which day would that be then? By 1 or 2 days. They give the Zakat al-Fitr by 1 or 2 days. Not by 3 or 2 or 3 days, by 1 or 2 days. So which day could that be? Could only be one day. 28th. The 28th. If they gave it on the 28th, and then Ramadan was 29 days. That means he gave it before Eid by one day. If he gave it on the 28th, and Ramadan was 30 days. That means he gave it before Eid by 2 days. Then the only way to give the Zakat al-Fitr according to this narration by 1 or 2 days is to give it on the 28th day. So that means it's permissible to give it on the 28th day, not before that. And Allah knows best. And because of the narration of the Sahaba, they used to give it before Zakat al-Fitr, before Eid, by 1 or 2 days. That means the day of the 28th. today. So today, now it's permissible to give it. And some of the ulama, they mentioned that, like al-Imam al-Sayyidi rahimahullah, that it's preferred actually to give it 1 or 2 days. And this is the action of the Salaf that they used to do. Plus, a person maybe could become preoccupied. He become busy and then he get delayed and not be able to give it in time. Or maybe he's trying, he can't find somebody in time to give it to. And the likes like this, for these reasons, that he could get delayed from performing it by the proper time, then it's preferred, according to Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sayyidi rahimahullah ta'ala, to give it beforehand. But in any case, we see it's permissible. And in any case, we see that it is permissible by 1 or 2 days. كَانُوا يُعْتُونَ قَبْلَ الْفِطْرِ بِيَوْمٍ أَوْ يَوْمَيْنِ أَخْرَجُهُ الْبُخَارِي. They used to give it before fitr 1 or 2 days. 1 or 2 days. There's another narration. Before this, we have the issue of giving. We see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Abi Sa'id. What did he say? كُنَّا نُعْطِيهَا مِنْ فِي زَمَنِ النَّبِي صَاعًا مِنْ طَعَامٍ. Huh? And then he mentioned other types of ta'am. أو صَاعًا مِنْ تَمْرٍ أو صَاعًا مِنْ شَعِيرٍ. Now, in one narration of that, we read Abdullah bin Umar فَرَضَ النَّبِي sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, صَاعًا مِنْ تَمْرٍ أو صَاعًا مِنْ شَعِيرٍ. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has legislated and he has made it obligatory, the zakat al-fitr. And then he mentioned from ta'am, or from this type of food, from dates. So this particular act of worship is related to food. It's related to giving food. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam legislated, zakat al-fitr. There's different types of zakat. Zakat al-mal, zakat al-fitr. There's different types of sadaqah. Sadaqah on the wealth. Even sadaqah, smiling, even giving, saying tasbih, the Prophet said sadaqah, alhamdulillah, this is a type of sadaqah. Helping somebody is a type of sadaqah, right? Giving money is a sadaqah, giving food is a sadaqah. This right here is specific. Zakat al-fitr is a specific type of sadaqah. Sadaqat al-fitr is a specific type of sadaqah. It has to be done with food. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam legislated. If somebody wanted to give a poor person money, alhamdulillah, there's no problem in that and no one is stopping him. Let him give him his money. If somebody says, the poor person, he really needs money, then give him your money. That's a charity. This is something good for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. But the one who wants to perform this obligation of zakat al-fitr, money will not suffice. Money will not suffice. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the poor people, they had money at that time. I mean, the rich people and the poor people, in any case, there's money between them. And the Prophet didn't say to give them money, but rather he commanded and he legislated and he made it obligatory to give them food. And we see also from the intents of that food is so that they have food that day, that they are able to eat that day, along with those who are eating, along with the rich. The rich will make them even with them on that day with regards to eating, enjoying food on that day. This is from the purpose. In any case, the ulama, they mentioned that the food, the majority of the scholars or the four imams, that it's not permissible to give money for this particular act of worship. It's not permissible to give money for this particular act of worship. If somebody gave money, it would not suffice. It would not be zakat al-fitr. Zakat al-fitr has to be food. And from these types of food. He couldn't give, for example, apples. It's not legislated for that. Meat, it's not legislated. It's a particular type of food. And these particular types of food, this is a particular type of act of worship. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa radd." Whoever does a deed not in accordance to our affair, not in accordance to our religion, will be rejected. Will be rejected. So the person who does this that's not in accordance to his legislation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will be rejected. So this is something to keep in mind, that it has to be food for zakat al-fitr. As for if somebody wants to give the poor people charity, then this is good. Alhamdulillah, all the time. This is good all the time. Walillahi alhamd. So we have another narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. He says, فَرَضَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ زَكَاةِ الْفِطْرِ طُهْرَةً لِلصَّائِمِ مِنَ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَثِ وَطُعْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ مَنْ أَدَّاهَا قَبْلَ الصَّلَاةِ فَهِيَ زَكَاةٌ مَقْبُولَةٌ وَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ فَهِيَ صَدَقَةٌ مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ. أخرجه أبو داود وابن ماجه. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned that the Prophet or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has made zakat al-fitr a fariḍa, faradaha. He has made it obligatory. For what means? This narration clarifies the reason. Tuhratan طهرةً للصائم, as a means of purification for the صائم. من اللغو والرفث, من اللغو والرفث. اللغو, this is the type of speech that a person says but he doesn't really mean it. Sometimes somebody is talking and saying things, and he'll say things he doesn't really mean. His heart is not really intending this, but he's saying things, talking, wasting his time, and the likes like this. This may happen while the person is fasting. This is zakat al-fitr, طهرةً, طهرةً للصائمي, طهرةً للصائمي من اللغو والرفث. الرفث in this narration, the ulama, they mentioned this is الفحش في الكلام, indecency and profanity in speech. So the one who had foul speech, or the one who wasted his time and with his tongue and speaking that which is not important or that which is not necessary, or the one who has spoken indecently and the likes like this, or acted in an indecent manner, likewise, then this charity is a means to purify for this. فرض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زكاة الفطر طهرةً للصائم من اللغو والرفث وطعمةً للمساكين, and a means of feeding the pure. So in this narration, which is authentic, alhamdulillah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified two of the reasons. Two of the reasons why this is legislated, or why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam legislated this, or at the command of Allah azza wa jal, to purify the fasting person and to feed the poor. And to feed the poor. So this evidence, this narration here is an evidence for the position of the ulama that they say that zakat al-fitr must be given to the poor only. It's not like zakat al-man, where there's eight different types of categories you can give them to. You can give the zakat, the wealth of the zakat on the money. There's eight different categories a person can pay them. Now, but as for zakat al-fitr, it doesn't go to the eight categories. It only goes to the masakin here, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned clearly that the Messenger of Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned clearly, he said that he has made the zakat al-fitr was made as a means of purification for the fasting person and a means for feeding the poor, for feeding the poor. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was mentioned, Ibn Abbas, he said, man addaha qabla as-salati fa hiya zakatun maqbula, whoever performed it before salat, salat al-eid, then it is an accepted zakat, and it's zakat al-fitr. وَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا بَعْدِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهِيَ صَدَقَةٌ مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ. But whoever performs it after the Salat al-Eid, then it's a charity from amongst the charities. It's not this particular charity. This particular charity that is legislated, it's a legislated act of worship, and it has regulations, and it has rulings that are related to it. It has a time for it, and it has a means for it. Like Salat and Hajj and the rest of the deeds, like this, Zakat al-Fitr, it has regulations and ahkam. So the one who does not abide by these regulations, he did not fulfill the obligation. Here the Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever paid it after the Salat al-Eid, فَهِيَ صَدَقَةٌ مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ, any like a regular charity, not considered fulfilling this obligation of Zakat al-Fitr. Of Zakat al-Fitr. This narration is in Sunan Abi Dawood, one of the most relied upon explanations of Sunan Abi Dawood, or famous and well-known explanations, is called عَوْنُ الْمَعْبُودِ. The author, he mentioned in عَوْنُ الْمَعْبُودِ, he said, وَالظَّاهِرُ أَنَّ مَنْ أَخْرَجَ الْفِطْرَ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ الْعِيدِ كَانَ كَمَنْ لَمْ يُخْرِجْهَا. What is apparent from this narration here is that whoever gave zakat al-fitr after the salat, the prayer, the Eid prayer, it's like the one who didn't give it. It's like the one who didn't give it. Because he said, whoever gave it before the salat, then it is an acceptable zakat. And whoever gave it after the salat, then it's a charity from the charities. So what is apparent from the narration, he says, is that whoever gave it after the salat, it's not accepted from him. It's not accepted from him. Naam? And then he mentioned, وَقَدْ ذَهَبَ أَكْثَرُ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ إِخْرَاجَهَا قَبْلَ صَلَاةِ الْعِيدِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ مُسْتَحَبْ فَقَطْ. He mentioned that the majority of the scholars, they said that to give it before Salat al-Eid is only mustahab, that it's recommended. He mentioned the majority of the scholars, they have this opinion that it's recommended to give it before Salat al-Eid, but it's not obligatory. وَجَزَمُوا بِأَنَّهَا تُجْزِيُوا إِلَىٰ أَخِرِ يُمِ الْفِطْرِ. And they mentioned, I mean, the majority of the scholars mentioned that, and they have said with certainty, and of their opinion, or of their position, that it's permissible to give Zakat al-Fitr all the way to the last of all the way to the Maghrib, on the day of Eid, on the day of Eid. He's mentioning this, and he's mentioning the position of the ulama, but then he says, Here, a very important point, and he said also, again, the majority, but some of the ulama, they are not in accordance with this opinion. But he's mentioning here to clarify, many of the scholars, they have this opinion, rather the majority, that it's only recommended to give it before Salat, but if he gave it after Salat, all the way before the Maghrib, it's permissible and it's acceptable. But he says here a very important point, and he says, وَالْحَدِيثُ يُرُدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالْحَدِيثُ يَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ. The narration here is refuting this position. So we're going to follow the majority of the scholars, we follow the narration. And this particular narration, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that whoever performed it before Salat, it's a sadaqah that's accepted. Whoever performed it after the Salat, then it's a charity from amongst the charities. So in this particular issue here, then we say, Alhamdulillah, even if it was from the greatest of the ulama, although we respect and we honor and we love the ulama, but the narration of the Prophet is more beloved to us. It's more beloved to us. And that's not finding fault with the ulama. Naam, and maybe they have their position and their opinions of, and their proofs, but what is clear from the evidence is that it's not accepted. And many of the ulama, they mentioned this. And Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that it's not performed, but he must make it up. If he did not perform it before Salat al-Eid, then he's sinning. Then he's sinning. So there, in the narration or in the explanation here, he mentioned that the majority of the scholars said it's only recommended. Shaykh Ibn Baz and Shaykh Uthaymeen mentioned that the person will be sinning. Shaykh Ibn Baz said that if he delayed it without a reason after the Salat al-Eid, he must make tawbah. He must make tawbah. It's a sin. Now, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this, فَهِيَ صَدَقَةٌ مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ فِيَ صَدَقَةٌ مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ. So sometimes we see the benefit from this, and that the reality is not with the person who says the statement or with the amount of people who make the statement, but the reality is with the proof and the evidence. The reality is with the proof and the evidence. So the proof and the evidence is here, is in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, مَنْ أَدَّاهَا قَبَلَ الصَّلَاةِ فِيهِ زَكَاةٌ مَقْبُولَةٌ وَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ فَهِيَ صَدَقَةٌ مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ. That whoever performs it before the Salat, then it is a charity that is accepted, Zakat al-Fitr. And if whoever performs it after Salat, then it is a charity from amongst the charities. And at the same time, this is not in disrespect to the ulama whatsoever. Rather, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the messenger of Allah. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the one who is safe from error with regards to conveying the deen. As for the other people, then their statements are measured with the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A Muslim, he says, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And this is the correct understanding of the deen. And this is why Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Kullun yukhadu min qawlihi wa yurad. Everyone, his statement is accepted or rejected, illa sahibu hadha al-qabr. And he pointed to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except for him. Meaning his statement, we accept it without any proof, absolutely, because he's the messenger of Allah. As for the rest of the people, then it's in accordance, whether we accept their statement or not, with them, whether it's in accordance with the statement of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very important point, barakallahu fikum, if that person who made a statement contrary to the evidence is from the people of the sunnah, then we excuse him. And we know that he didn't strive to make a mistake, that he has an evidence, or he had a different understanding of the evidence, but what is clear is that he made a mistake in this. So at that time, the way of the people of the sunnah in dealing with the mistake of a person of the sunnah is that they excuse him for that. If he's from the ulama of the sunnah, they excuse him for that, and they preserve his honor, and they preserve his respect, and they know that he did not intend to make a mistake, but they don't follow him in his mistake. Now, this is from the fundamental principles of taking knowledge, and taking knowledge in the religion of al-Islam according to the people of the sunnah. From the greatest mistakes that we see in these days, that a person will make a mistake from the people of the sunnah and they will treat him like the people of the innovation. A mistake from the people of innovation is different from the mistake of the people of the sunnah. Even if he's not a scholar, a person, a layman, like us, if he's just a layman and he made a mistake, but he's from the people of the sunnah, there's a different way that you deal with him. There's a different way that you deal with him than you deal with a person of innovation, a person upon different misguidance, the person who is known to be a caller to misguidance. Of course, la karama. There's no honor for these type of people, but the people of the sunnah, they have respect and they have honor. They have good with them, and all we know about them is good. Then we deal with them in a different way. We deal with them gently, and we deal with them with kindness, and we advise them in private, and the likes like this, in this manner. And then we don't try to drop them, or to harm them, or to expose them. Rather, we call them in a good manner, with good preaching. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'idhati al hasana wa jatilhum billati hiya ahsan. If they continue to go upon their way, then it's a different situation. طيب, in any case, what do we say? Is it permissible to delay zakat al-fitr after salah?
No.
No, it's not permissible. It's not permissible. The one who delayed it without a reason, he's sinning and he has to make tawbah. Shaykh ibn Bas, he said, if he delayed it without a reason, he's sinning, he has to make tawbah, and he must make it up. He must give it still. In qada'an. And he will make it up. Like, for example, the person who missed salat on the proper time, he makes it up. He mentioned the same situation like this, Shaykh ibn Bas, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he must make it up. He sins, and he must seek forgiveness and repentance, and still pay it later, after salat. Still pay it, making it up. Making it up. But whether it's accepted or not, that's in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam clearly stated, فِيهَا صَدَقَةٌ مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ فِيهَا صَدَقَةٌ مِنْ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Likewise, from the acts of worship that are legislated in these days coming, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى التَّكْبِيرِ At-takbir, yahamukallah, at-takbir, saying Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned about the legislation of fasting in his book. He said, لِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلِكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That Allah has legislated this fasting so you can complete the period and so that you may make takbir of Allah Azza wa Jalla. لِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ, to magnify and glorify Allah Azza wa Jalla. عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, for guiding you to the completion of this month, for guiding you for standing in the night prayer, for guiding you to complete the fasting, and for guiding you to do the good deeds, for guiding you to Islam, for guiding you to the Sunnah. لِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who has guided us. لَوْلَا اللَّهُ مَهْتَدَيْنَا وَمَا سُمْنَا وَلَا صَلَيْنَا. The companions, they used to say that, if it was not for Allah, we would never be guided, and we would never fasted, and we would have never prayed. It's from the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah has legislated for the believers who have guidance to praise Him for that guidance and to magnify Him for that guidance. And this is in general by complying to His commandments and staying away from His prohibitions at all times. But particularly the ulama, they mentioned this is an indication here too, the day of Eid. And it's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has been narrated in Al-Musannif, Ibn Abi Shaybah, rahimahullah, and the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان يخرج يوم الفطر فيكبر حتى يأتي المصلى وحتى يقضي الصلاة فإذا قضى الصلاة قطع التكبير. نعم, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he came out on the day of Fitr, يكبر أيقول الله أكبر الله أكبر كبر يكبر كبر تكبيرا. He will say Allahu Akbar. He will say Allahu Akbar all the way till he gets to the Masallah. Whenever he gets to the masallah, he will keep saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, all the way until the salat is done. After the salat is done, he would stop making takbir. That's been narrated from the companions, the form of the takbir. They would say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Like this. And there are other forms that have been narrated likewise in the books of hadith. Bukratan wa asila added to it and the likes like this. And the ulama, they mentioned that this is something that is, yani, fihi wusa. It's why you just praising Allah in general and praising the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla in any manner that is legislated. But what has come, what is well known, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. What did that happen in this manner like this? So, but if a person, he added to it the وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا and the likes like this, this likewise has come in some narrations. And the ulama, they mentioned that the area for this is a big area. Alhamdulillah, that means is what is intended to just praise Allah. Even if a person, he just said Allahu Akbar over and over, all Alhamdulillah, and the manners like this, inshallah, this is making takbir. This is making takbir and praising Allah Azza wa Jalla on that day. Praising Allah Azza wa Jalla on that day. The men, they'll say it out loud in their homes and in the streets and on the cars and on the way to the masjid. In the masjid, they will not say it in unison intentionally. They will not say it in unison intentionally. This did not come from the salaf that they would say it together, all one voice, intentionally. If a person is sitting next to you and one is saying Allahu Akbar and he is in accordance with you, just like this, without any intention, it's not a problem. But whenever one tries to make it one big voice at one time. The ulama, they mentioned that this is not from the sunnah. That is not from the sunnah. So we encourage the children, likewise in the car, on the way to Eid, in the house, in the lights like this, to say Allahu Akbar, and you say it, encouraging them to praise Allah Azza wa Jal in the manner legislated. Likewise, the women, it's legislated for them as well. But it is known that the woman, she does not raise her voice, especially amongst the men and the likes like this. And the women will not be raising their voices in the markets or in the streets like the men would. And they will not be raising their voices in the masjid, if they can be heard by the men and the likes like this. If they're alone, inshallah, it's no problem mentioning it with a voice that it can be heard. But whenever there are strange men that are not from their maharim, then they should be shy. And this is from the good manners, and this is from the right way, and this is indication of the piety of the heart of that woman, that she would not raise her voice around the strange men and the likes like this without a need. So then the women, they make takbir, but they don't raise their voice any around the men and the likes like this. Also from the rulings of Eid, with regards to the day of Eid, it's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make ghusl, to take a legislated ghusl, and to come wearing the best clothes in the best manner. The best clothes, meaning the best clothes that are legislated and permissible. Some people, they think they put on their best clothes, and they put on the clothes that most imitates the enemies of Islam and the enemies of Allah. The clothing that is specific to them, like neckties. The necktie, the ulama, the tie they put on the neck, and it goes down like this. The necktie, this one, the ulama, they mentioned that this is from min khasa'isi al-Nasara, and that actually is something related to deen. And that the crusaders, they used to wear the cross on their chest, and they would have a cross on their chest big. And then after some time, and the generations passed, it got taken from this big cross to this tie. To this tie. And this is something that is mentioned in the history books. Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili, he has a speech about this with detail, and just summarized that this is something that's not permissible. And this is not from the beauty and the adornment. Rather, the beauty and the adornment is in following the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whatever was in accordance with his sunnah, this is beauty and this is good. Other times, for example, they want to beautify themselves or adorn themselves. So the men, they want to look handsome on Yawm al-Eid. So they cut their hair with qaza'. They cut their hair with qaza'. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prohibited qaza'. Now he seen and Nabi it came in a hadith Abdullah ibn Umar, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam ra'a sabiyan qad hulliqa ba'du ra'sihi wa turika ba'duhu fa qala la taf'alu ahlikuhu kulluhu aw utrukuhu kulluhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he seen a baby, he had part of his head shaved and part of his head left off, and the Prophet said, don't do that, either cut all of it or leave all of it. Cut all of it or leave all of it. So whenever a person shaves part of his head and leaves part of his hair and leaves another part, wherever it's at, he shaves part of his hair, leaves part of it, that's called qaza. That's impermissible. Now the ulama, they mentioned likewise, it's maybe would not be considered qaza because the shaving, but fading. Where he doesn't shave it all the way, but he trims some of it. The back maybe is trimmed, and then the top is poofy like this. All of this is imitating the kufar at least. And that's impermissible. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. The people of the hellfire and the people of the Jannah, they're not the same. Not in this life and not in the hereafter. Not in their speech and not in their conduct. Not in their creed and not in their belief. Not in their action, nothing like this. They're not the same. Why would one want to imitate the people of the fire? نعوذ بالله. The enemies of Allah. They don't believe in Allah. They speak bad about the Messenger. They belittle the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they want to imitate them, even in the way they cut their hair. Na'udhu billahi min al-khidlan. Na'udhu billahi min al-khidlan. This is not from the adornment that is praiseworthy. Any day, especially not on Eid. Likewise, a man wants to adorn himself on the day of Eid, let him not do it by dragging his pants. Lowering them below the ankle. This is not from the adornment. A man, he wants to adorn himself on the day of Eid, he has to be in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has to be inside the limits of Allah azza wa jalla. He has to be in a manner that is mubah and permissible for him. As for the lower garment of the man, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it's not permissible to go below the ankle. It can come to the ankle. It can go on the ankle. It can't go below the ankle. The ankle, where does the ankle stop? Yeah. It can go all the way to the butt. It just can't go below.
So some people say that, oh, I'm afraid they're gonna laugh at me. Alhamdulillah. You should be afraid that Allah will not look at you or speak to you on the day of resurrection. Now, but it can go to the ankle, it can touch the ankle, it can be on the ankle, it can't go below the ankle. مَا تَحْتَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ مِنَ الْإِزَارِ فَفِي النَّارِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whatever is below the ankle, from the izar, the lower garment, then is in the fire. طيب, if somebody's foot is in the fire, where is his head? Where is his shin, and his ankle, his knees, and his... This is a threat, this is a major sin. This is a major sin. Naam? This is a major sin. So a believer, he will not do that. And he will likewise not wear clothing that is tight and wear pants that are tight. Now, all this is from imitating the kuffar. He will not do that. And we should not aid our children in doing that. Rather, we should prohibit them from that, from all of this, and not support them. And be aware, they want to buy these things. We tell them, no, you can't. I'm not buying these things for you. Na'udhu billah. And you can't wear them in my house. Na'udhu billah. And you can't go outside with this. Na'udhu billah. Like this. And make dua for them. May Allah guide our children. May Allah guide us and guide our children. But this is something, you know, we don't imitate them. Something that is not imitating them. Everybody wears pants. Okay, khalas, you can wear pants. Alhamdulillah, if you want to. As long as they don't show your private parts, and it's not some specific pants that only they wear. And as long as it doesn't go below the ankles. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to wear the qamis. Like this. Why? لأنه كان أسطر أسطر لبدنه. Because it covers his لعورته. It covers his body and his privates more. And he's covered. He's concealed. Alhamdulillah. That's better. Like this. Now, I'm speaking of the issue, another mistake some people make, maybe it would be beneficial for them. They think that they're decorating themselves and they put on a shirt that is tight or short. And then they do two, isa'atan. He has pants on, then he has the t-shirt on that little bit short. If he stands up, it covers him. This person, he does two wrong things. He harms two people. One time he harms himself, and one time he harms his brother. Naam, he harms himself when? In one of the best places he can be. In salat. In the masjid. He'll be in salat, he'll be in the masjid, he has wudu, everything like this, and then he'll go in ruku', bowing before Allah Azza wa Jal. What happens? His backside, he exposes himself. Exposing himself. Because of negligence in his clothing. He's negligent in his clothing, wearing his clothing that is not covering his body properly. And then if he's worse than that, one of those worse than that, they have the sagging pants. Then he makes ruku' and he exposes himself. And then what about the brother praying behind him? He has to pray, he's praying and the sight is exposed to him. So the believers, they need to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. They need to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And the brothers who have been tried by this, they need to be reminded. Reminding them, wanting good for them, and not exposing them in the salat. If somebody happened to do that, for example, in the masjid, not exposing them in front of the brothers right after salat. You have to do this, but pulling him on the side, catching him in the parking lot, catching him by himself. Say, brother, barakallahu feek. You know, that is from the conditions of salat that the private part must be covered. And when you're in salat, you're exposing yourself like this. When you go in sujood, you're exposing yourself like this. Actually, you know, I was... unfortunately, I was forced to see something like that. May Allah guide you, and you want good for them, and you try to give him advice. So in any case, the point of the issue is that the believer on the day of Eid, he will decorate himself, he will adorn himself, he will come out wearing beautiful clothing. Clothing that is permissible. Clothing that is beloved to Allah, that is allowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Showing thanks to him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wearing perfume. Decorating oneself, wearing oud, wearing itr, wearing perfume, smelling nice and smelling good and the likes like this. As for the women, it's not legislated for them to wear perfume outside the house. And it's not and it's also for the women, they must be reminded also not to come out with tabarruj, looking all, adorning themselves and coming into the streets and mixing with the men. This is a major issue. We don't want to celebrate these days in disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. Many people, the Eid is a day of celebration, and then they wind up using the whole day disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, mixing the men and women, the boys and the girls, mixing and talking, getting to know each other. Na'udhu billahi. It's not the right way. This is not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is not the way to show thanks for the great blessing of Islam and fasting the month of Ramadan. Rather, we have to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. The women have to cover themselves properly. cover themselves properly, come with shyness, come with humbleness before their Lord, covering themselves, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, knowing that Allah can see them, and what He has legislated for them is this, that this is their act of worship, and this is their manner, and that this is the beauty that they have in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, that they cover themselves whenever they come out of their homes, the legislated covering. Likewise, from the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in closing, before coming to the Eid, or for the Musalla, or for the Eid Salat, he would eat dates, and he would eat them in an odd number. It's been legislated in this time, he'd eat them in an odd number, 3 dates and the likes like this. Likewise, from the sunnah of Eid is that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would come in one path and go home in another path. Go in one path and come in another path. He would take this street on the way there and take that street on the way back. This is all from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, mentioning that the angels on that day are on all of the corners and in all of the streets, and they are witnessing the actions of the believers and the likes like this. So in any case, it's established sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the day of Eid to go in one, to come in one direction and to return home in another direction. And we close with that, inshaAllah. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.